end of the year. What should be noted for the next season, and we show our acreage breakdown on slide number 7, is because of the export bottlenecks and the bulkiest export crop is corn, we made a decision to reduce acreage under corn from 59 to 38,000 hectares. We increased our acreage for wheat, and we increased our acreage for oilseed crops such as soybeans and sunflower seeds, because these can be processed domestically. And on the soybean side, obviously, we crush it at our own plant. There was a recent change in the market environment since the Ukrainian government introduced licensing for wheat exports. Previously, there was a ban. Now we are allowed to apply for license and export both corn and wheat, the most important crop commodities in Ukraine. However, the export bottleneck means that overland routes capacity is only currently a quarter at what used to be through the seaports in Odessa, Mykolaiv, and other smaller ports in Ukraine. Going to the sugar production side, sugar sales volumes were lower because some of our industrial clients either stopped production or had to reduce it. For example, Coca-Cola plant in Kiev region was severely damaged in the first months of the war. However, we are now focusing on retail sales of our products. And here we can see significant demand because sugar is a commodity which can be kept in storage for a longer period of time, and because of the logistical problems to deliver certain food products across Ukraine, it is easier to transport and distribute for humanitarian purposes. So again, lower sales and a lower margin, but quite decent volumes. If we are turning overall to the situation in the market, we can see that the new harvested area, sorry, planted area under sugar beet is down by almost 1/5. This is probably reflective of the amount of people who unfortunately had to temporarily leave Ukraine. So the domestic demand could be lower while the situation continues. But of course, in these circumstances, the prices are still significantly raised. The domestic prices for sugar in Ukraine are higher than international ones. And that is favorable for our P&L. We faced a sugar export ban from Ukraine in March, but that was lifted by the Ukrainian government. And recently, the EU announced its intention to remove old trade barriers and quotas for imports from Ukraine, including sugar. And we hope that this decision will come into force very soon, and we will be able to increase our sales, including exports. On soybean side, we had to temporarily suspend operations of our crusher. during the first several weeks of the war, but then we restarted productions when we found a way to ensure safety of our operations and of our personnel. And we can see quite good results on the margin side. The reason is because domestic demand for our soybean products is probably higher than before the war, because livestock producers in Ukraine lack sunflower meal supply from sunflower seeds crushers, which had to stop their operations. Therefore, there is a higher domestic demand for soybean meal, which is our co-product in the soybean crushing site. Very briefly on the cattle farming, prices, revenues and margin are doing quite nicely despite the situation. And this is because there is a big push by the Ukrainian government and all large-scale Ukrainian businesses to continue business and earn revenues and tax revenues for the Ukrainian state. Our industrial consumers of milk, such as Jagatyn, Lüsdorf, continue to produce dairy products for Ukraine. And our the raw milk that is produced by our farms is in high demand. And we can see that our profitability even looks better compared to the first quarter of last year. We would like to say that despite the current environment, we operate business as normal. But of course, this is not true. We are doing most what we can in the current situation, and we hope for the resolution on the seaport side so that we can have certainty with our grain exports, which is something shared by the market in general and by the global community, which demands Ukrainian grain to be released into the global market to calm down the global inflation and food security concerns. Something we always also show in all our communication with investors and analysts alike, we have a humanitarian project, and because of our operations are located across Ukraine, we are able to deliver humanitarian aid directly to the most affected areas by military hostilities. So if you have anyone who can become a partner, provide such assistance to Ukrainians in kind or via financial means, please do contact us. We will never get tired of doing charity work on top of our day-to-day business operations. And with this, I would like to turn the floor to the Q&As. It would be helpful if you send us questions into the chat box, because we know that some lines can be quite noisy. I don't see any yet, but
Hello, this is Paweł Jewczowski speaking from Wood & Company. If I may start, just asking four questions. What is actually the storage capacity of Ukrainian silos and the starter silos? And what is the current utilization of it? And how much can you store in it? So the question basically is, if there is a harvest this year and you cannot export the entire harvest, how much of it will you be able to store until the next season?
Right. There was a quite lively debate on this topic at the Green Conference taking place today, actually, in Switzerland. And the Ukrainian government, the Ukrainian side, pointed out to a range of numbers. Some market participants count the total Ukrainian grain storage capacity at 50 million tons, but some believe it is 65. It all depends on whether the storage capacity is stationary, well-equipped with all handling, drying and other services, or this is just a floor storage with less conditions for longer storage. Also, there is a range which the market was voicing today, which storage capacities are within the occupied areas, and the number also ranges from 7 to 12 million tons out of 50 to 65. If we are talking about Astarta, we have invested heavily in our storage network, and this is more than 550,000 tons. And we also have capacity to store some grain in so-called sealed sleeves or bags. This is the storage technique, which is very widely used in South America, whereby treated corn can be stored in this long plastic plastic bags, not in ordinary silage facilities. So for us, we believe that we are fully self-sufficient for the grain storage. Also, we pointed out today that our acreage under corn, which is much bulkier than wheat, will be lower. So we need less capacity for corn, and some of corn harvest will be stored in these sleeved bags.
Okay, so if I correctly understand, there should be no problem with storing the upcoming harvest when it's collected until the next year, correct?
According to our traders, if grain is properly treated, wheat can be stored for several years, corn can be stored for two seasons. The only problematic crop is sunflower seeds, which is 12 months. So from this point of view, Ukraine does not have much of a problem of storing grain stocks, but of course, sunflower seeds and crushing activity needs to be at a larger scale to not waste sunflower seed harvest.
Okay, so it's not about the storage capacity, it's more about the sunflower seeds that needs to be crushed within 12 months, correct?
Yes, correct. Grain, there is no problem with storing grain. There is problem with storing oil seeds, and this is mainly about sunflower seeds because soybeans are crushed immediately, domestically.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Could you please remind us what's the current export capacity of Ukraine in terms of the grain export through the western border? You've mentioned during the last conference call that it was 0.5 million tons, compared to 5-7 million tons in the pre-war period. What's the current export capacity, and when do you expect it to be increased? We're speaking only about the Western border railroads and roads.
Well, this is still a big question mark. According to the Ukrainian railway, the first 2 weeks of May, they were able to transport 1 million tons of grain. And this is only 2/3 of potential capacity. And also, one should bear in mind that grain volumes is only up to 15% of the total rail cargo crossing the border. The rest of the cargo is coal, iron ore, and metals exported to historical clients to Europe from Ukraine. So to increase volumes of grain exports, there will be a bigger push to increase the share of agricultural produce in the total freight, but this is highly political issue, so we do not know how it will be resolved. But also, Ukrainian railways believe that even at current share of agricultural produce, it can be increased by 1/3 if on the EU side there is more urgency and communication between the two sides to reach a higher capacity. With regards to the road transport, this is still work in progress, and it is very difficult to estimate what the capacity could be, because neither on the Ukrainian side or European side there is any monopoly. Ukrzaleznitsa is a rail monopoly operating in Ukraine. It is much more centralized and can plan its activities with a higher precision. But on the road truck side, there are various standards which are different between the border states. For example, there are ecological standards for the trucks, and in Romania, these ecological standards were for Ukrainian truck drivers were accepted lower than in Poland. And we know that the Ukrainian government is talking to the governments of all four countries with which Ukraine borders, so that there is a lower ecological standard and higher capacity for the road transportation. But there is no public estimate of the maximum capacity that we have come across yet.
If I may clarify, first 2 weeks of May, 1 million tons of grain has been exported through the western border. This is 2/3 of the export capacity through the railroads, as far as the crops are concerned. And in fact, that's only half of the entire export capacity, because the other half is for the metals. Correct? Because this would mean that because if the first 2 weeks, if in the first 2 weeks, Ukraine managed to export 1 million tons of grain, by proportion, that would mean that within a month you should be able to export 2 million tons, and that's only 2/3 of the railroad export capacity. That's correct, right?
Again, 15% of the rail cargo is related to agricultural produce. And it can be increased by 1/3 just by being more efficient, between more efficient communication between the railways on two sides. This is what we understand the message from Ukrzaleznitsa at the moment.
Okay, so in total per month you can export at this stage 2 million tons of grain if in the first 2 weeks 1 million tons was exported, and this 2 million tons can be increased further by 1/3 if the efficiency gains come.
This is not a question to us, I'm sorry. This is a question to Ukrzaliznetsa.
Okay, cool. My last question is regarding your financing. Until when have you secured your financing? So in terms of your liquidity position, how confident do you feel? Are you considering any measures aimed at boosting your liquidity as Kernel has done recently by selling 1/4 of its land bank?
I will start replying, and then I will also ask if our CFO would like to add. We have a very healthy balance sheet, so we don't need to divest any assets to tackle any problems on the balance sheet. And also, if you look at our disclosure note in the financial statements for the first quarter, we stated that we have secured financing for the second quarter and partially some financing for the third quarter. And maybe Mr. Gladky can add to this.
To emphasize that Astarta demonstrated strong liquidity in this very difficult environment. And I would say that we probably one of the few Ukrainian companies in this situation who received immediately support from local and Western banks in the amount we needed. We have cushion of liquidity at the moment from banks' limits. However, at the moment we don't use them because it's not needed. And we build it for the stress scenario, as you asked, what will be in case if logistic will not allow export. So we are preparing for this scenario as well. And so far, we're quite sure that we will be able to mitigate visible risks which appears from this part of the business, right? Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. That's all from my side.
I've just opened the chat box. There is four questions from one gentleman. The first one, could you comment on the risk if grain exports by sea were difficult longer than until autumn 2022? Market sources say that then Ukraine will have to deal with a limited amount of storage space. What does it look like for you? Do you have enough warehouses to accommodate for currently stored grains and harvest? I think we actually replied this question. We have large storage capacity, which we previously built, and we were planning to use it for our in-house stocks as well as for third-party stocks. But it is ample storage with reduced acreage under corn. We feel comfortable. And additionally, specifically for corn, we will be purchasing sealed bags in which corn can be stored outside stationary storage for more than 12 months. Second question, what is your ability to finance working capital if grain exports by sea are not possible? If in the fall you need additional working capital to finance a sugar campaign? I think Mr. Gladky has just answered this question. In the soybean oil production segment, I understand that currently it is not possible to export the oil overseas. It is possible to export oil, same transit route with oil cisterns by rail, but unfortunately Ukrzaliznytsia is still finding out how to increase this tank capacity. The amount of oil, sunflower oil and soybean oil leaving Ukraine in the last months was very low, but they are looking at increasing the oil passage along with grains. How does look currently refund of overpaid VAT on exported products, VAT reimbursement? I will pass this question to Mr. Gladky, please.
Yeah, since the beginning of the war, VAT was not refunded. However, at the moment, there is a draft of the law in the parliament, which you foresee that it will be restored in June, and it's waiting for the signature of the president. So we will see how it will happen. But at least there is expectation that will be renewed.
Next question. What is the price inflation for the seeds for the next season, especially for sugar beet and corn? We are talking about general input inflation, and this is for all inputs, seeds, pesticides, fuel, fertilizers. Seeds is something that Ukraine actually is very well supplied, at least for the spring planting, which is close to finishing in Ukraine. The biggest concern on the input side is not about the seeds, but about fuel. Next from Martin. Sugar export, is it logistically possible as of now to export sugar from Ukraine? Is there any demand for Ukrainian sugar abroad, given relatively high cost of production in 21 campaign? Ukraine never had sugar exports into the EU without import quotas and any free trade. So this will be a new environment for us, and we hope that it will be favorable for Ukraine. Logistics is the same, but truck transportation is probably easier for sugar than by rail, and we have to see how the prices develop. So this question is not practically relevant yet, but we hope that in a couple of weeks' time there will be free trade with the EU, and we will do all our calculations. Grain export, was Astarta able to sell any grain volume since start of the invasion? Yes, of course. We are able to sell our grain. March was a logistical shock month for everyone. And also the Ukrainian government in a not very helpful way introduced bans and then licenses. So the market is only starting to get on its feet in April. So we believe that in the next couple months we have higher volumes of sales of grain. Sunflower, could you please clarify, as I might have not catch that earlier, whether sunflower can be crushed in your soybean facility? No, we don't have a multi-seed crusher. Ours is mono-seed, soybeans only. So we only crush soybeans, and sunflowers that we grow can be crushed by third parties. And that could be on a commercial purchase arrangement, or we can try to do tolling processing for us. This is something which is subject to calculations for the new harvest. Next from Natalia, could you please comment on volumes of crop salt exported to date in April, May? Natalia, I would rather hope that we have firm numbers in the second quarter. Once we announce them, we will have firm numbers. So it's not very productive to comment on something which is a work in progress, and we're in the middle of May. Have you already considered contracting gas for sugar refining season in the fall? Yes, of course. We typically start contracting gas in advance. This is a time when we are doing it already, and we also would like to point out that one of our sugar mills is running on coal rather than gas, so we are in a relatively safe position. How much transport capacity by truck can be utilized today, next few months, to transport grains? Yeah, we are still in the discovery process. As I mentioned, certain standards for drivers need to be lowered by all border countries of Ukraine, which is Hungary, Slovakia, Poland, and Romania, for the drivers to enter, and also for transit through other countries. And this is on Euro standards, this is on tachometer standards, also on weight standards, because road trucks is about road safety, and here the situation is resolving on a slower pace than with rail. What is your view, expectation, when the Odessa port will be reopened for grain transport? This is obviously a very big question. What we hear publicly, that Ukrainian government is talking to United Nations and other countries, trying to find a solution for some humanitarian escort of grains out of Ukrainian ports. The amount of grain currently stuck in seaports is more than 4 million tons, which is a big amount of grain for the global trade. So question is whether politically anything can be agreed with the blocking side. And also the question, if there is a political agreement to do escort of grain exports out of Odessa, whether how long the demining process takes place, because the area around ports has been mined by both sides, Ukrainian and Russian, and that may take some time. Are you considering any CAPEX needs? We put all development CAPEX projects on hold very naturally in current environment. So our CAPEX is mostly maintenance related, which is crucial for our operations. And you can see in our first quarter results, these are very modest. We highlighted during our previous calls that CAPEX in the agricultural area was mainly replacement of the agricultural machinery, and that was a five-year program, and it's not massive. Our soybean crusher is a new plant which doesn't require much maintenance CAPEX, and in the sugar production, we also spent quite significant CAPEX in the past years on upgrading our operations. Cattle farming is not capital intensive, so the chunky CAPEX that we previously planned was related to our development projects, such as soybean concentrate plant, but we had to put it on hold for obvious reasons. So currently, our CAPEX is very is very small, and in the first quarter 22 it's even negative, given that we sold small assets in the first quarter. Another question from Martin: in the export logistic chain via land borders, how the split of additional cost looks like between farmers and traders? How large is this additional cost? To be honest, I would not give some different numbers, because a question is whether this is a transit to Constanta and then it goes to the Asian market, or we found consumers and off-takers in the Spanish market for corn, for example, or in the Netherlands. This is something that will be better reflected in the second quarter results. You will see our S&D costs on the agricultural side, and this will be something verifiable. But at the moment, we don't have an entire picture. With the current export rail capacity in place, how much cash burn do you estimate to incur per month, roughly excluding working capital swings? To be honest, I don't understand the question. I think excluding working capital swings is not very good approach, because Astarta's operations are all seasonal. For soybean crush and milk, both sugar and agricultural operations are highly seasonal, so working capital swings are very significant. So trying to exclude working capital swings is like excluding our two major business segments out of calculation. I don't think this exercise is useful. Are your current exports enough to cover your fixed cost today? You can see from the first quarter results there are, and we will see how we finish the second quarter. We are still in the middle of the second quarter, so let's just live through the next 6 weeks, please. Unless Mr. Gladky would like to add anything to this.
Yeah, we have, as we mentioned last investment call, that we completely cover our fixed costs by our local sales from sugar and milk. So from point of view of this perspective, we have enough liquidity from local sales.
Well, thank you very much, everyone, for your questions. I can see that the checkbox is now complete. If you have any additional questions, please feel free to drop us an email, and we will arrange for a separate call or answer in writing. Thank you very much again, and have a nice afternoon. Bye-bye.